You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Business is booming. Bob's happy. And so is the dog. Catapult your business on the map for customers searching for companies just like yours. Get Tizzible at Tizzible.com. That's T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. T-I-Z-Z-I-B-L-E.com. Get your website visible. Get Tizzible.
Police in Memphis are looking for a man they say shot and killed a police officer. Sean Bolton walked up on a drug deal when he spotted a car illegally parked in a neighborhood in the southeast part of the city Saturday. And then police say Tremaine Wilburn got out of the car, struggled with Bolton, and shot him repeatedly. Memphis Police Director Tony Armstrong says the community is mourning.
We lost not only an officer, but a great man, a dedicated servant to our community, and a family member.
Bolton was also an Iraq War veteran. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has turned himself in today to authorities. He is facing charges that he misled investors and didn't disclose money he made for referring financial clients as part of his private business before becoming the state's top lawyer in January. He is in a jail in Dallas. Greece's main stock index plunged more than 22% today, its first day of trading in 5 weeks. Bank stocks suffered the most. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
One of the presidential candidates is rolling out his immigration plan for the nation. AP correspondent Rita Foley reports.
Former Florida governor and Republican presidential candidate Jeb Bush is suggesting that the 11 million or so immigrants living in this country illegally be allowed to earn their way to legal status by passing a criminal background check, paying a fine, and learning English, among other things. But Bush said finding a solution to illegal immigration is, in his words, a non-starter if our borders are not secure against future illegal immigration. I'm Rita Foley.
Authorities say the man who was shot to death outside a Mississippi courthouse was scheduled to appear in court today on drug charges. He was with his lawyer when he was killed. A suspect is in custody. The prosecutor says the victim, Kendrick Brown, had been expected to reject a plea offer, after which the judge would have set the case for trial. The DA and county sheriff say they don't know why he was shot. New York's top prosecutor says he'll investigate the death in a jail cell of a mother of eight who had waited 2 days for arraignment on a shoplifting arrest. Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is acting for the first time under an order issued last month by Governor Andrew Cuomo. It gives the attorney general authority in cases where people die in encounters with police. Thousands of California homes remain threatened as 21 fires burn in the state. One blaze is 84 square miles. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headlines. News.
And this is Georgine Trinkle. We're here at the studio at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and we're getting ready for Hot in Hunterdon, and it is hot, I believe, outside. It is blistering. We're going to have the weather in just a moment, but we always start out here at Hot in Hunterdon with a quote about our topic of the day, and we actually have an author with us today, so we had to go with a quote that's relevant. So this is what we have today. Every secret of a writer's soul, every experience of his life, every quality of his mind is written large in his works. So that's our quote of the day, and that was from Virginia Woolf. And we have Mike Daigle with us today to talk about his second book, which is at the publisher as we speak. So we're looking forward to that and hope you'll stay with us here at Hot in Hunterdon. We listen to the life of an author and what it takes to get a book to print. Stay with us.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, financial advisor at Patton Hyde & Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement? Like, will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hyde & Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hyde & Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
And we're back here at Hot and Hunterdon, and I'll do the weather, and then I'll introduce our guest, Mike Daigle. So, Hot and Hunterdon, we're very, very in tune with the weather here because it is hot. It is a high of about 88, although I think that it's actually a little bit warmer than that. We're looking at some scattered showers and thunderstorms, but you don't have to worry about the umbrella until after 11 p.m. this evening. And we may get a little bit of rain from those thunderstorms, but not more than a quarter of an inch of rain. So I think you should still water your beautiful blooming flowers. We have Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 88. Now, Tuesday is August 4th, which I hope my listeners know is National Night Out because we talked about it last week. A National Night Out is an opportunity to support your local law enforcement and to show that you want to be a willing collaborator in crime prevention and you want to work with the police department and you're willing to give out information that you may have about crime and have some educational opportunities for crime prevention. So National Night Out is in Hunterdon County at in Flemington, and that's put on by the Sheriff's Department and the Prosecutor's Office jointly with many local municipal police departments. And then in Washington at Meadow Breeze Park, the Washington Township Police Department are hosting their own National Night Out, and that's from 6 to 9. And in Phillipsburg, we have Chappelle Park, which is in downtown Phillipsburg, and that event is from 5 to 8. All these events are free. They're a great way to interact with law enforcement, learn a little bit more. Often they'll have kid print IDs, and you could get some information about crime prevention. So I hope Tuesday, when it is mostly sunny with a high near 88, you will join the National Night Out celebration and go meet a police officer. Learn a little bit more about your community. We have Wednesday, a very beautiful and sunny day with a high near 85. It doesn't look like there's any rain other than a slight chance of shower the entire week. So I think if you don't have a water advisory, you certainly should water the beautiful flowers. This is a great time of year. Right now, gladiolas are popping up along with the dahlias, which are really beautiful. So I hope everyone enjoys that, to use the take time to smell the roses or the flowers. I think you should definitely do that. So now for our Hot and Hunterdon topic today, talking with Mike Daigle, who is an author. Mike, welcome.
Thank you, Georgie. I'm glad to be here. It's good to see you again. Thank you.
Sure. We're happy to have you in the studio here to be able to talk to an author and to get some of the back scenes of what it actually means to have author after your name or published author, which I know is something that is really, really difficult. And I think you join a very small percentage of writers.
It's an interesting business these days because self-publishing has made it possible for anybody who can put together 50 pages of something to publish it. There are outlets for it, but for those who have been writing for a long time and write in genres or are serious writers, it's a challenging time. Publishers are looking for material, and But everyone, as you send out notice after notice to gain some attention for your book, you find that everyone is somehow so busy that they don't have time to do it. It's a very the top of the market is very, very selective. The very best people will get the best attention. Because of the way books are published, it has changed. Independent publishers are springing up, and they can make contracts with local book publishers. In fact, I bought one of these books. It's a publish on demand book. You buy it, they publish it, and send it to you one copy at a time. There are challenges in getting through all of the usual things that make the business hard. There are publishers willing to take on unknown writers, which my publisher did, and get the word out. It's an interesting process.
Well, let's start with the first one, which is The Swamps of Jersey. That was mm-hmm. your first published
Correct.
Book. And you do live in New Jersey and currently, and you have based the first book on, I think, it's Irontown, sort of like Trenton, and
it's an old industrial town. It's a fictional Morris County. I use some of the old history of the town to create the atmosphere. It's a depressed former industrial center, and that becomes important because the lead character, a detective named Frank Nagler, is a native of the town, and this was originally planned as like three stories about Frank Nagler going through an emotional growth period and kind of connecting his emotional changes with the economic and atmospheric changes in his hometown. And they're matched up pretty well. He grew up in the town. His father worked in the mills. His grandfather worked in the mills. He's one of these people who understands what happened to his hometown, and he kind of shakes his head that it became such an economically depressed place, and he wonders what can be done. And in the first book, what he finds out, part of the reason is that generations of political corruption have sort of helped keep the town in poor economic condition. That becomes part of the story of him figuring all that out. The second book is a growth for him.
And before we hop over to the second book, the first book, I don't think our readers might know, it's also a bit of a love story about him grieving and getting over or learning how to live without his wife, who's deceased. And that weaves through the story, I think, in a beautiful way as he reminisces about how he got to where he is now, which is almost like this vast land of nowhereness.
Yeah.
And I think the story kind of pulls him out of that depression and gives him some focus as he remembers what this great town was once like, to be thriving, and now
And that's exactly, that was sort of the point, is it was Writing about Frank in terms of character development, as I, you know, years ago thought of how to write him, you start at sort of a point zero where he is an extremely closed-in, grumpy human being, and then you try to, in the second book, you hope he's a little less grumpy, and by the third book, he's supposed to be even less grumpy. We haven't got that point yet. But
in
the first book, he's lonely, he's as he says at one point, he buried all the grief about his wife's death in his police work. So he's never really sat down to think about it. And then a young woman shows up and cracks start to appear, and he starts to go back and look at it. And he begins to come out of that shell. But it doesn't come out of it completely, because the woman who's helping him come out of this leaves town. And becomes a suspect in the crimes and causes him all sorts of anguish. So,
well, as always, the love of a good woman is what can turn anyone around, or the love of a good person, for sure. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about your books and your work and being a published author. So stay with us.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we're back here at Hot in Hunterdon. This is Georgine Trinkle, your host. I'm joined with Michael Daigle, an author, and we're live here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Studio, which is in Flemington, New Jersey. And Mike was just giving us a little teaser that his Frank Negler character does show up in his second book. But if you haven't read his first book, it's Swamps of New Jersey, and you can find that on Amazon.com or on the author's website, which is michaelstephendaigle.com, and on some other great places like Barnes & Noble. So we were just talking a little bit before the commercial about how this character develops, and I heard reference to a third book, so I guess he's going to continue. But congratulations, Mike, to having a second book published, and the name of that second book is Game Called Dead. And it's great that you're working with the same publisher, and that actually some of the character, or at least Jimmy, does Jimmy show up in this book?
I carry over a few characters. Jimmy Dawson has been sort of the companion to Frank Negler all along. He's a reporter, and even though I'm not a journalist, he's not me. As I told a friend of mine, journalist, the other day, he's a compilation of all the best characteristics of all my friends in the news business.
I liked him. He sort of made Frank not so grumpy, just more attuned to some of the emotional things. So I'm glad he comes back. And does the female lead come back?
Yeah, Lauren Fox comes back. And actually, she's in the book this time. The plot structure of the first book has her a character who naturally doesn't really physically show up in the book, but she's a complete presence because part of Frank's recovery from his emotional shell is that she brings him out of it. But she leaves town before the book opens mysteriously and without saying goodbye, and that just nags at him like everything does because he's one of these guys that just dwells on all this stuff.
I think I know a few of those people.
and he wonders where she's going, and as they begin to investigate, they're going through computer files, and for some reason all the computer files in question keep showing up on her old computer, and the guy that's working, the computer tech who's doing the work, keeps going, why is this stuff showing up in her computer? And that's part of the plot structure. But in the second book, she comes back in a big way. Plus, there's a new character who's an old friend, and there really wasn't any way to work him into the first book. But is a gentleman named Leonard. He runs a bookstore, And he's Frank is sort of his mentor and old friend. Leonard is blind. He was blind as a child and had a terrible childhood, and Frank kind of helped guide him through the terrible childhood, and he opens a bookstore, and it becomes the center of some of the plot action in the second book. But Leonard's a fun character because he tried to write him as one of these guys who wasn't. Periodically he's grumpy because he's blind and wheelchair bound, but on other times he supersedes that and talks about seeing the world and being part of the world. The other character that comes back is Delvin Williams. It was an old high school friend of Frank's who in the first book is an overweight, junky, homeless guy living in an old factory.
That's where they found the body.
And that's where they found the body. In an act of charity, the big bad criminal in that book puts him in a nursing home, and in the second book, he's sort of recovered.
Oh, so does that mean we kind of believe in things turning around, and is that your signature of hope that people can transform themselves?
Well, it's part of the idea. Part of it is it gives me an opportunity to introduce some of the plot that was put in motion in the first book, because the old mayor wasn't a good guy, but he's one of these glad-handing ward healer types who wants to present himself as a good guy. I'm the big boss, political boss. Meanwhile, he's doing all these backroom deals. As Frank says, because there's a scene in the second book at his funeral, because he was 90, and you know, as he said in the first book, there are about six things that are going to kill him, and in the second book, one of them does.
plot spoiler alert.
It's a plot device, but I'm not going to tell you why he's there. They talk about the act of helping Dell get into a nursing home or a health care facility, and they discuss it as you would someone who's kind of is disreputable. It's sort of maybe this is an act of contrition for him. And then both Frank and Jimmy Dawson kind of have that conversation. Then they go, nah, that wasn't right. He was still a bad guy. But he comes back, and part of the themes in these books is how Ironton, New Jersey recovers from economic devastation, because also in the first book it opens with a hurricane, and that's how they find the body in the swamp, is that the water recedes and the mutilated body shows up, and that's the first scene of the book. But it's the struggle of how you turn around decades of economic decline. And in the second book, I created a sort of a thematic way of dealing with that through sound and music. There's a community center where some kids who were in the high school band, but the high school band got shut down because of funding problems, started sort of a makeshift drum line. They took plastic tubs and metal drums and pails and all sorts of stuff, and they started a drum line. And so there's sound, and what happens is the sound sort of becomes the signature that things are changing in Ironton one way or the other, because you've got this real thumping, impressive beat of these kids who just kind of look at it and say, this is our town, we're going to fix it, and if we can do this through our music, then we will. It plays out. And in the third book, when they get to the third book, there's going to be, in real life, economic change happens slowly. And so this isn't going to be a miracle here. No one's going to, you know, fix the town in the first chapter. But what it is, it's about a town and a reflection of Frank Nagler's state of mind, that it's improving and moving forward. And those two things move forward somewhat together. At some point, I'm probably going to have to diverge them a little bit, because it gets to sound like a little la-la land here. So I have to figure that out as I write the third book. But you want to create an atmosphere that's believable. I mean, this is a town that's been in bad shape, but the residents in the second book start to act in a way that tells you that maybe they can because the officials have had two books here to get it right, and they haven't got it right yet. So the residents are going to be the one to begin to drive the economic revival of their town. And as one of them says, one point, you know, one project at a time. And I think, Georgine, your background in community development is an example of those kinds of things. You do one thing right, and then that leads to another thing that gets to be done right, and then another thing, and then a couple of them get done at once, and then three or four more over a period of years. And you can turn around a town or a neighborhood one piece at a time.
That's pretty optimistic, Mike. We like to have some optimism floating around in this studio, that's for sure.
Well, it's
you do have to focus one thing at a time when we're talking economic revitalization, because there's just too many things that happen. And I like to see that optimism, and I like to see that reality. It's a work of fiction, but it's nice when it's believable fiction, because I think you get wrapped up in a reader when you can say, I believe that.
Thanks. I've known a lot of folks who have been in the nonprofit community who have taken on housing issues and street cleaning issues and all of that, and it's a long slog. It takes a while to get your funding and your people together and your plans together. And we don't go into all of those details, but you've got a couple of characters who just decide that we are going to change something because we can't do nothing.
And I think that if Irontown was thriving, there wouldn't be so many dead bodies lying around. There's book three. Hopefully, there's book four, five.
It's also part of when you're creating a place like Ironton, you want to create a place that people can identify with. One of the great things about John Updike's Rabbit books is the town that they took place in was so identified with Rabbit Angstrom, and you read those stories and you knew exactly what that town was. And that's sort of what I was hoping to do with Ironton, is you create a scenario and a place of action where it's plausible that there's movement, there's things going on. They're not stagnant. It's not just scenery. It's live people doing things, both good and bad. And then that's your background spectrum, and then you put all the police action in front of that, and then the personal action in front of it. So we're going to see in the second book, you see Lauren Fox come back. There's also a wrinkle, because there's a college professor. The plot in the second book begins at a local college where a couple of women have gotten beaten up, and then one of them dies about 40 pages later. And that brings in Harriet Wadley Jones, who's the dean of women. And no offense to any current college administrator, but she's a pain in the butt. She's a defender of the women on the college, and she's very aggressive, and she runs into Frank Nagler, who knows what it's supposed to be as a police officer, and they butt heads right away. But that sets up a big change. That sets up changes for both of those characters that take place during the book. But he needed some kind of a protagonist like that to kind of shake him up, and she does. I like her as a character. She's very aggressive, she's very smart, and she doesn't take no for an answer. So,
and that's a really, really good quality in anyone, but especially for a female character. We like the strong, assertive type that are aggressively seeking change that they need in the world.
No.
So before we take a break, I just want to remind everyone we're here at Houghton Hunterdon speaking with Mike Daigle, who came to talk to us about the exciting news that his second book is at the publisher, and I don't know if you have a release date just yet.
I don't yet, and I'm hoping mid-September.
Mid-September, great. You know, that's around the corner.
Yeah, which would be plausible. We have a cover.
That's so fantastic, and it is August 3rd today, so that is a quick thing, but I hope when you get the release date, you'll come back and let us know. Mm-hmm. I've not read the second book, obviously, game called Dead. So I hope you'll come back when I've had a chance to read it. Mm-hmm. But Swamps of New Jersey is a great book. It was your first published book. And that is available at Amazon.com and at Barnes & Noble and also at your website, which is MichaelStephenDaigle.com. We're going to take a news break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about being an author and Mike having a couple of books now based on a fictional town that is in New Jersey. Stay with us.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The James Holmes trial will move on to phase three, and the death penalty has not been ruled out. Per Colorado law, the jury must deliberate three times. He could be sentenced to death in the 2012 movie theater shootings. Saudi Arabia and other Gulf Arab allies are welcoming the nuclear deal with Iran.
After meeting with Secretary of State John Kerry, Qatar Foreign Minister Khalid Al-Attiyah said through an interpreter the deal should improve regional stability.
This was the best option amongst other options in order to come up with a solution.
Still, he says the Gulf Cooperation Council is looking for additional assurances Iran won't be emboldened by the deal. Kerry says the U.S. is ready to step up military cooperation.
We will raise the capacity of all of us in the region to be able to push back against destabilizing activities.
Those steps include joint exercises, intelligence sharing, and improved missile defenses. Mark Smith at the White House.
This is USA Headline News.
For over 75 years, GEICO's kept an eye on the future, keeping customers happy with things like 24/7 customer support and emergency roadside service. And to prove it, here's one of our commercials from over 75 years ago.
At GEICO, we promise to always find innovative new ways to serve you. In fact, we're so innovative, in 75 years, they'll listen to this old radio commercial and think, wow, they were innovative.
Wow, we are innovative.
GEICO, saving people money for over 75 years.
Welcome to Staples.
Hi, Staples guy. I have to get my kids ready for back to school.
Staples has tons of deals, like one subject notebooks for just 25 cents. So they'll be 110% ready.
Wait a minute. That's 10% more ready than 100% ready.
That's right.
Yeah, I was a math major.
I could tell.
Make low prices happen. Make 110% ready happen. Staples, make more happen. Right now, Lexar S50 16GB flash drives are just $6.99.
Offer valid while supplies last. Limit 5 per customer. Ends 8/8/15.
19 police officers have been killed this year in the line of duty, and Officer Sean Bolton was the latest. The Memphis, Tennessee officer walked up on a drug deal over the weekend when he spotted a car illegally parked. When he approached the car, the suspect got out. The two struggled, and Bolton was shot. Memphis Police Director Tony Armstrong says Tremaine Wilborn is being sought.
Wilborn is out on supervised release by the U.S. Western District Court for a 121-month sentence for robbery of a banking institution. He is considered to be armed and dangerous.
For more information on this story, go to our website at usaheadlinenews.com. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has turned himself in to authorities. He is facing charges that he misled investors and didn't disclose money he made for referring financial clients as part of his private business before becoming the state's top lawyer in January. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Thousands of California homes remain threatened as some 21 major fires burn in the state. Fire officials have called for thousands of evacuations in Northern California, where the largest blaze is now 84 square miles.
We've got structures threatened at 6,300, structures destroyed. We have 24 residences, 26 outbuildings, and 3 structures damaged.
That was Rocky Fire spokesperson Blanco Mercado. Wildfires are also burning in Washington and Oregon as the West Coast suffers from the effects of drought and summer heat. The presidential candidates are making appearances on the talk shows. On Thursday, the first GOP debate will be held. The top 10 highest polling candidates will participate. But Ohio Governor John Kasich says he isn't worried if he doesn't make it this time.
I'd like to be there, but, you know, this debate comes 6 months before the selection of a single delegate.
He spoke on Fox News Sunday. The wing fragment found on an Indian Ocean island has arrived in Paris, and French and Malaysian experts are meeting about it, hoping it is part of the wreckage of MH370 that disappeared 16 months ago. Experts hope to determine if the wreckage is from the missing plane by later this week. A man was shot to death outside of a Mississippi courthouse today, just before he was scheduled to appear on drug charges. Officials don't know why Kendrick Brown was shot. They said he was expected to reject a plea offer. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we're back here at Hot in Hunterdon, and it is hot. And we are in Hunterdon, so both things of our name are actually true today. So let's just take a quick look at our weather today. And it is mostly sunny out today. We have a high of about 88, although looks like 90 was the high of the day. I don't know if we peaked at that already or if I'm a little behind the times here. But the showers aren't coming until after 11, and it's such a slim chance. I wouldn't worry about the umbrella. Tomorrow, which is August 4th, and National Night Out going on across the country, looking at a beautiful, mostly sunny day with a high of 88. Wednesday is the beach day, the day you want to call in sick. It's sunny with a high of 85, and I wish I could figure that out because I could really use a beach day. Thursday, we're looking at a high of 81, so that's a pretty nice beach day if you don't want to burn your feet on the sand. And then Friday is showers likely. So it looks like a great week. It's summer. It is now August, which is really hard to believe. This summer is just flying by. And I hope everyone makes sure that they get some beach days in this month before we're talking about Labor Day weekend and the fall weather. So it's summer, and we want it to be hot, and we are here at Hot in Hunterdon in Flemington at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce office, and I have with me in the studio an author in the house. So, Mike Daigle, thanks for joining us and talking about Swamps of New Jersey and your exciting news that your second book, Game Called Dead, is at the publisher and may be released sometime in September, October, or certainly when the weather is just a little bit cooler.
No, thank you, Georgie.
So we're really interested to know what the process is and how long it takes once you sign your contract to your book going to print.
It my publisher has been very it's a small publishing company out of Tulsa called Imzadi Publishing. The turnaround time can range from a couple of months to 3 or 4 months. Last year, it took a little longer to get a game called Dead out, Swamps of Jersey out. I was a new publisher for them, so there was a lot of back and forth about who I was, who they were.
How long did that take?
That probably took about a month.
That sounds like nothing.
The thing that's changed in the publishing business is the ability of a small publisher to find an author, get the book designed and laid out. The software, the layout software changes everything. The editing software changes the design function. And you can create all of these things as PDFs or different kinds of electronic documents, the process of putting a galley together and mailing 300 pages back across the country and then having the author write them, go through them and make all the changes and then send them back and then send them back again is just speeded up. It's quite amazing how quickly this can be done. You don't want to, in the speed of the process, you don't want to miss the details. But all of us have been using online word processing software since, for 25 years now, and that's created a process that's faster. It also gives a small publisher like Imzadi the opportunity to get books out and in the marketplace at a rate that probably used to be done only by the largest pulp houses, the fast turnaround. It's a different process, and it shows up both in the marketing and in the just the assembly process of the book. It's a lot different.
So how long does it take to do the rewrites?
I think for me, as a journalist, I write and edit at the same time.
I hit you?
Pretty much. It's a deadline writing habit. You come out of an event and it's 7:30 and they want the story by 8:15. You write and edit at the same time. Sometimes you send it to an editor who then edits it, but you tend to do that a lot. I will write 8 or 10 pages. I don't write a whole book and then go back and start over. And in fact, during writing of Swamps of Jersey, had pretty much had the framework together. And then as I wrote stuff at the backside, it would say, well, wait a minute, I need to do something about this in the front. And then went back and added things in the beginning chapters and then moved whole sections of the book around a couple of different times. The opening scene changed probably 7 or 8 times during the entire process, some of which never made it into the book at all, and some of them show up in other places in the book. Because as you rework the material, you get a better sense of the flow and what your characters are doing and when you want to twist the plot at some point and things like that. So I move stuff around a lot. But just the writing process, you sit down, you write as much as you can, and then you go back over it, and sometimes you spend the next 2 days doing those 10 pages again. And then sometimes you're happy with them enough that you write the next 10 pages and see what happens. With a game called Dead, because this was actually the first Frank Nagler book, and it got completely changed to be Swamps of Jersey. When I went back to write a game called Dead, I had a problem because I was trying to rewrite the story to match it up with what had happened in Swamps of Jersey, and it was an excruciating process because all you were doing was this sort of ersatz editing process. You weren't actually writing anything.
Right.
And then it dawned on me one day that I wasn't getting any, and it wasn't fun. So I just said, okay, put it aside and start over, and rewrote the whole thing. And by the time when I made that decision, I wrote 2/3 of the book in about 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's amazing. Sometimes we get caught up in the wrong process of things.
Yeah.
And we're so tied into it, we can't take the step back and say, I need a new process.
Yeah, exactly. and some of the original opening scene in the very first draft of A Game Called Dead actually got broken into 4 separate parts. It appears in the book in 4 separate places, including the last scene of the book. Because as the characters changed and the action changed, sometimes, and this was one of those cases, I liked the way the paragraphs worked. I liked the phrasing. I liked the way it was written, and I wasn't going to give it up, which can be fatal. you can be so much in love with the words you wrote that you forget that they don't actually make sense to the rest of the story.
Well, prose is sometimes really, really important. We get caught up in that, and we forget about the meaning behind it, and we look at the flow. And
yeah, it's also as you're rewriting the story, the character was different. When I looked at those scenes again, the characters in them were different in the newer version because they were closer to what they should have been.
They evolved.
They evolved, and you take the piece. So you took the physical pieces of it and used it in various places because they made more sense to be 4 separate parts of the book as opposed to the opening, the big opening scene. Because sometimes you can create this big opening scene, and then you hit a wall because you've actually written everything that you're supposed to write about it. And then where do you go next?
And the action's done. So we're going to go for a quick commercial. When we come back, we're going to still be speaking with Mike Daigle for our last few minutes. And again, his 2 books, Swamps of New Jersey, and the soon-to-be-released book that's with the same publisher, Game Called Dead. We anticipate that would be available also on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble. But I hope everyone stays with us, and we're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back to talk more about this author and his process.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property, can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up. You surely want to exhibit. Something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
We're back here at Hot and Hunterdon. I am your host, Georgine Trinkle, and it's August 13th, and we've got about 12 minutes left of Hot and Hunterdon here. We're speaking with Mike Daigle, the author of two books, one at the publisher, Game Called Dead, and the book that's out in the streets right now where you could purchase it is Swamps of New Jersey. And I know that's something that's changed in the publishing industry, Mike. I know right now I'm reading this book, and I get caught up in my book sometimes if I'm away, and I somehow always take the scariest book in my collection, and then I'm alone in a hotel room reading a really, really scary book, jumping at every sound in the hallway, wondering what I'm doing, but I can't help it. And right now I'm reading this book, Z, which is Zelda, the story of, from Zelda's perspective, which is really an interesting book. But it was easy to find that book because there were a lot of reviews on it, and it had spent some time on the New York Times best-selling look. But today, that's not the only source. Years ago, you'd go to the Sunday paper, and you'd pick the 10 top nonfiction books and the 10 top fiction books. You'd get your wish list together, and you'd, saunter over to the library or the bookstore, and you'd know what to read. But it's a whole new world now, I'm happy to say, for authors. There's so many more books that come on the market that has so much more potential for readers and for authors. So tell me, last time you were here on Swamps of New Jersey, you were out marketing, and I think you were getting ready to do some appearances at different events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was fortunate. I was able to do a very big authors conference in New York City, which I had never heard of. Being a journalist, it was a side of the business of writing that I hadn't been involved in. But the moderator of a section of the conference called Transition from Journalism to Fiction read my book and sent me an email, and he invited me to the conference, and so I went, and it was this great event. And a lot of exposure, got a chance to talk to a lot of people
who are doing great work in magazines and online venues and things like that, and got to talk to listen to his story about how he got his book published. Went through a lot of changes and actually went through a couple of publishers before I found one. Because my brother and his wife have a folk music act, they were playing at the Ramsey Public Library, which was interesting because they're from Massachusetts. I wasn't quite sure how that connection was made, but we went up and he told me to bring some books, and I got to talk to their librarian, and appeared at the Bergen County Cooperative Library Book Fair. The Bergen County Library has 72 companion libraries, so there's a lot of exposure there. A couple weeks ago, I was one of the readers at the Somerville Barnes & Noble as we were taking turns reading To Kill a Mockingbird. An author friend of mine got invited and was asked by the store manager if he knew any other authors, and so he emailed all of his friends who've been writing books, and we all came down and read. And it was a terrific event. I think the all day, because it started at 9 o'clock in the morning, went till 9 o'clock at night. I think they probably had 500 or 600 people actually stop and read and listen for a section. We were there at night, and we probably had an average crowd of 35 to 40 people at any one time. Taking part. It was fun. The book is so well loved, had a built-in audience, but you get that exposure. You get to talk to people about what you're doing. You get to talk to other authors about what is going on and what their process was of getting published and things like that. And it's a changing marketplace. Self-publishing and ebook publishing has changed a lot of things, and one of the authors there does nothing but self-publishing, because it gives him the control of how he markets the book. The one thing that you learn as a new author is you spend a lot of time marketing.
Doing your own marketing. So door-to-door, libraries,
bookstores. Fortunately, a lot of the bookstores have consignment policies, and you can drop 3 or 4 books off, and they take a share, and you get a share, and that works fine. It becomes a question of how much you actually want to spend to do it. Free publicity is hard to come by, because the folks who used to handle all of that publicity when you send it to them, all those former journalists are now out writing books, because we all got fired about 3 years ago. The whole industry has changed completely. The news staffs are considerably smaller. There's lots of small websites out there, but they have no staff either. So you have to gear yourself up to plan to write your own publicity and market it. But that's not as hard as it sounds. It's just a matter of catching everybody at the right moment.
It does scare me a little. I know I'm the dinosaur in the room getting my paper delivered every morning, but I have to have it. I'm a tactile person. I want to see what I know. It's more accurate online, but I want to see it. Just like I can appreciate in e-books, and I'm not sure if any of your books are electronic yet.
You can get an electronic version from Amazon, and you can get a hard copy from both Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
That's excellent, because I know so many people are. I do have the reader and whatever the books, whatever they are. Yeah. I own them. And I will use them when I'm on vacation and I want the scariest book in the world, so I could be scared all night and up all night. But I still want to turn the pages sometimes, and I still need that. The words don't seem like they're real words unless you can look at them yourself and turn the page and touch them. And I think we forget sometimes the importance of words and books. So
That's true.
Cheers me up a lot to know that the Barnes & Noble event, which I had seen at a different bookstore, I'm glad that that's out there. We need to pull our kids in so that they can become authors and learn that they can transport themselves with books and words.
I know there's been a lot of shakeup in the book marketing business, and Borders and other stores have gone out of business, but I think you look at the stores, and even when I've been shopping regularly for books in the Barnes & Nobles that I've gone into, the place is quite full. And the day that we were at the Somerville Barnes & Noble doing the Harper Lee event, There were many, many more people in the store not paying attention to us. They were over in their own sections, looking at magazines and drinking coffee and reading books and listening to the music. The store was remarkably busy, and it's not a dying business. It's a changing business.
That's so true.
And there's strength there, and as long as the Wall Street doesn't panic on their stock prices, these stores are developing more and more viability as a multi-platform marketer. And that, you can see it in the stores. People like going into bookstores and pawing through the shelves, and like going, libraries have been booming as they have adapted for the need for online services for their readers. They've become the place that they've trained librarians to help people apply for jobs and search jobs and get news and things like that. So and then you have the youth reading groups and all of that. There's such an effort at the whole, the whole focus of literacy across the board that these institutions are changing, not dying.
So. And libraries are becoming our community centers, which are great to see.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so our listeners know, we do have book Swamps of New Jersey that's available at Amazon.com and also at Barnes & Noble and also at the website michaelstephendaigle.com. The second book called Game Called Dead should be released sometime September, maybe early October. And I only say that because I always have changing deadlines. You could never have changing deadlines when you were in the editing world of the newspaper. So you'll have to let me know who's right here, if it's September publishing or October. Either way, we're so pleased that a New Jersey author is able to produce books that represent, fictionally, of course, parts of New Jersey that give us a little bit of hope and lend our characters to be able to develop something in New Jersey that takes us to a little bit of a love story, emerging characters, a little bit of mystery, and even though there's a little bit of corruption there, it seems like it's hopeful. So, Mike, I wanted to thank you again for coming to Hot in Hunterdon to talk about your work as an author and what it takes to get published.
Thank you, Georgine. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And I want to remind everyone that tomorrow is National Night Out. And I really hope our listeners go out and support the police departments in Hunterdon County and Warren County and throughout the country, because we need to send a message that we are a partner in crime prevention and we are a partner with law enforcement, and we need to build that respect back up so they are not going on calls and having bottles thrown on them, which I think is unacceptable. And I know we don't tolerate that here in Hunterdon. So join your local police department, the Washington Township Police Department, 6 to 9 Meadow Breeze Park, Hunterdon County Prosecutor's Office and Sheriff's Departments having something at Deer Path Park tomorrow, August 4th, or in Phillipsburg at Chappelle Park. Stay tuned. We're going to have Ruth Ann Celebration Hour. We'll be coming up, and thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The James Holmes trial will move on to phase three, and the death penalty has not been ruled out. Per Colorado law, the jury must deliberate three times. He could be sentenced to death in the 2012 movie theater shootings. Saudi Arabia and other Gulf Arab allies are welcoming the nuclear deal with Iran.
After meeting with Secretary of State John Kerry, Qatar Foreign Minister Khalid Al-Attiyah said through an interpreter the deal should improve regional stability.
This was the best option amongst other options in order to come up with a solution.
Still, he says the Gulf Cooperation Council is looking for additional assurances Iran won't be emboldened by the deal. Kerry says the U.S. is ready to step up military cooperation.
We will raise the capacity of all of us in the region to be able to push back against destabilizing activities.
Those steps include joint exercises, intelligence sharing, and improved missile defenses. Mark Smith at the White House.
This is USA Headline News.
For over 75 years, GEICO's kept an eye on the future, keeping customers happy with things like 24/7 customer support and emergency roadside service. And to prove it,